Let's take our Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 27. From the time of Jesus Christ's arrest up until the time of his crucifixion is approximately 35 hours, and that would maybe be the lesser side of how long a period of time that was, because that is calculating it as his arrest at being at 10 p.m. It very possibly could have been earlier on that Monday evening. If you'd say from Monday at 10 p.m. up until the time of his crucifixion, which according to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15 and verse 25, was the third hour of our Wednesday, that's a period of 35 hours. So for 35 hours, they tortured Jesus Christ. And as we read from the prophecy of Isaiah, his visage was so marred as to be unrecognizable beyond any man for 35 hours. Now what will occur is him being crucified on the tree for an additional 6 hours. So you can say very accurately that for over 40 hours, Jesus Christ was tortured. Jesus Christ suffered. There's no indication during those hours that he slept. There's no indication during those 40 plus hours that he ate. Just the incredible brutality that he was inflicted upon him, the incredible mutilation of his body, the incredible humiliation that he was subject to is just beyond description. But this is the price that God would have his son to pay for all of us. This is the great love that was extended to all of us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So about the third hour of our Wednesday, Jesus Christ is taken to Golgotha to be crucified. In our previous session, we saw that as he was being taken there, verse 32, that as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. So Simon of Cyrene bore the physical instrument of Jesus Christ's death, the tree. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. This would have been a painkiller, but Jesus Christ refused the painkiller. In other words, he met the pain and the suffering head on. And they crucified him, verse 35, and parted his garments, casting lots. In other words, they gambled for his garments, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Now, they've crucified Jesus Christ. Then they parted his garments, and they gambled for those garments. And then sitting down, they watched him there. All of this takes time. And set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." So they made a sign, they made an accusation that they posted over him, saying, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." This all takes time. Then, in verse 38, then, after all these events, then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. These are two thieves. The word thieves is the word robbers in the Greek. It's the word lestai, duo lestai, were crucified with him. So Jesus Christ was crucified first. Then there was a series of events. Then were two lestai crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroys the temple and builds it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." You know, Jesus Christ could have come down from the cross if he wanted to. He had 12 legions, 72,000 angels at his command. But the reason that Jesus Christ hung there was out of obedience, because he was doing the Father's will. Remember, if there had been any other way, let this cup pass from me. But there was no other way. So Jesus Christ obediently stayed on that cross, even in spite of the mockery that he was subject to. Likewise, also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." Oh yeah, sure, as if they would ever believe him. They had plotted for days out of envy to murder him, and now that treachery is playing out. Jesus Christ had come to Israel, and he had blessed Israel. He had loved Israel. He had healed and ministered to Israel. He declared himself as the Messiah, that which Israel was to hope for. But yet the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, what were they doing? They were mocking him. They were degrading him. He trusted in God, verse 43, "Let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." The thieves, these two lestai that were crucified after Jesus Christ was crucified, the two thieves which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. Boy, you better believe there was darkness over all the land. So what have we learned? Well, after Jesus Christ was crucified, there was a series of events. The gambling for his garments, the sitting down of the soldiers to watch him, then the posting of the sign. And then after all this occurred, they brought two robbers and crucified them with Jesus, one on his right hand, one on his left. After the elders, the scribes, the chief priests mocked him, these two robbers joined in by reviling him. What we've learned from the Gospel of Matthew is about two robbers that were crucified with Jesus Christ, but very clearly that they were crucified after Jesus Christ had already been hanging on Calvary's tree. Now let's go to the Gospel of Luke. You know, this is one of the great studies in the Bible, the others crucified with Jesus, that demonstrates scripture buildup. Not one scripture necessarily tells the whole story, but you've got to let the scripture build up. You've got to let the narrative develop. There are four Gospels written, and they're written for good reasons, because each of them accentuates a different aspect of Jesus Christ's life. Sometimes people have asked the question, why didn't God have one Gospel written? Then you wouldn't have to put them together. Well, I think of it, Jesus Christ's life and ministry, his service, his abilities that he showed forth are so terrific, so vast, that you couldn't just describe them all at once. And God puts different accent, different emphasis in each of the four Gospels. But this also is a wonderful demonstration that the Word of God is meant to be studied. It's meant to be worked. You've got to work God's Word as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. You can't be so lazy that you just expect everything to be available on the surface. You've got to dig a little. You've got to work at it. And these others crucified with Jesus are a great example of this, of how you've got to let the Scripture build up. What Matthew says is true, as well as what Mark, Luke, and John says. It's all true. It's the truth of God's Word. It all came by revelation. But what Matthew says might not be the whole story. So you've got to put it together with Mark. You've got to put it together with Luke. You've got to put it together with the Gospel of John and let the narrative develop. Let the Scripture build up. So when you get to Luke chapter 23, we'll start in verse 30. Well, in verse 26, it says, "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus." Now, we saw that in our previous session. In verse 32, it says, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death." Now, the word malefactors simply means evildoer. It's the Greek word kakorgai. So here, duo, kakorgai, were led with Jesus to be put to death. Already, we have two points of dissimilarity between those that were crucified after Jesus Christ had been crucified for a while, the two lestai of Matthew, and now we have two evildoers that were led with him to be put to death. You know, the evildoers of Luke, you could say, are similar to the robbers of Matthew, but are they identical? No. Something can be similar, like we saw the cursing of two fig trees earlier in this class. We saw two anointings of Jesus Christ with oil, one Mary Magdalene of his feet, another of a woman unnamed of his head. Those events were similar, but were they identical? Of course not. So the two robbers of Matthew are different than the two evildoers, the two kakorgai of Luke, because these two evildoers were led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the evildoers, the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. So what we've learned thus far by Scripture buildup is Jesus Christ is crucified about the ninth hour of the day, and at the time of his crucifixion, they crucify two evildoers, one on his right hand, the other on his left. Then after a period of time, they add two more robbers that are crucified. So how many do you have here that are being crucified at Golgotha? There's five. Now, what contradicts this is perhaps every artistic depiction of this scene, and it has been represented by artists many, many, many times throughout the years, where basically you always see only two. But the confusion of the two evildoers here of Luke with the two robbers of Matthew is simply the result of people not working God's Word. And oftentimes it's because people don't trust the accuracy and integrity of God's Word. They don't believe that it really is the Word of God and that it's accurate. Then said Jesus, verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with him derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over them in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. Now, verse 39, it says, And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other of the evildoers, answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. In other words, you know, we deserved this fate. For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So what's an additional point of dissimilarity? Well, it says that the two robbers both cast the same into his teeth. In other words, both of the robbers degraded Jesus. Both of the robbers spoke evil of Jesus Christ. But here, of the evildoers, only one did. The other believed. He said, This man has done nothing amiss. And then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee today, Thou shalt be with me in paradise. This is a very solemn Hebrew expression where it says, Verily I say unto thee today. And then the comma in our English Bibles ought to be after the word today. This is what Jesus Christ pronounced on that very day, that thou shall in the future be with me in paradise. This isn't saying that Jesus Christ and the evildoer were going to paradise on that particular day. No, where did Jesus Christ go after he was crucified? He went into the grave. No, this is talking future. It says, Thou shalt be with me, is in the future. It's a future tense verb. It says, In the future, thou shalt be with me in paradise. So what's the points of dissimilarity? Well, the two that were crucified with Jesus were evildoers. The two that were crucified after Jesus were robbers. Now, certainly a robber is an evildoer, but not all evildoers are robbers. Another point of dissimilarity is, of course, the timing that two malefactors were led with Jesus and crucified at the same time that he was, about the ninth hour of the day. After a series of events, then they added the two robbers. And then the third point of dissimilarity is here, is one of the evildoers believed concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ made this incredible promise to him that in the future that he would be with him in paradise. Now, let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. The records in Matthew, Mark, and Luke have more of an emphasis on the timing of Jesus Christ's death. But here, in the Gospel of John, when referring to the others crucified with him, it has more of an emphasis on place. It says in verse 17, And he bearing his cross, we know that the cross that Christ bore was a spiritual cross. He bearing his cross, he bore the sins of mankind. He went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. Where, verse 18, again, where, emphasizing place, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Now, if you read verse 18 in the King James Version, it would seem to indicate that there was only two others crucified with Jesus. But one of the things that should have arrested our attention is the words, in the midst. In the midst. If it was only two others crucified with Jesus, what would it say in English? It would say, in between. You can't be in the midst of only two. It would be in between. But the words in the midst indicate more than two. But the real answer to this verse is that the word one was added by the translators. Now, they didn't put it in italics like they do consistently in most other places when they add a word. But by the time of the publishing of the King James Version of the Bible, it was so well accepted that Jesus Christ was crucified in between two others, that they just added the word one, hopefully to get their particular theology or to get what they considered the Word of God to fit. But it's not in the critical Greek text. So when taking it out and reading it accurately, it says where they crucified him and two other with him on either side. Boy, do you see how accurate that is? In other words, two on one side and two on the other. And Jesus in the midst of those four. And then it goes on. In other words, verse 18 is kind of a summary of his crucifixion. Two on this side and two on that side. And then it goes on to describe some of the events of his crucifixion, which we've learned from the other Gospels. But picking up the record, in verse 30, it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, because it was the 14th of Nisan, the preparation day, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. So the first one that they came to would have been one of these robbers that was crucified after Jesus and the two malefactors had been crucified. So they came to the robber first, break his legs. And then they came to the other, which is one of the malefactors that was crucified with him. Then when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. You see how accurate God's word is? You know, they came to the robber. Then they came to the malefactor. Then they came to Jesus and found him dead already. The Bible doesn't then say what happened with the other malefactor and the other robber. Why? Because this is all about Jesus Christ. This is all about the price that he was paying. So when you work God's word concerning the others crucified with Jesus, it's very clear that there were four crucified. Two malefactors, two evildoers that were led with Jesus and were crucified with him at about the ninth hour of the day. And then after a series of events, they brought two additional robbers who were crucified with him. Both those robbers reviled Jesus Christ. They picked up on the lead of the priests and the scribes and the elders of Israel that were mocking him, and they too mocked him. They cast the same into his teeth. But notably, one of the evildoers, one of the Korgai that were was crucified with Jesus believe concerning him. And Jesus Christ made that tremendous promise to him that he would be with him in paradise in the future.